Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gutapi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I
have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, Vigilante.tv, Band.video, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the brand new website, www.macroaggressions.io. That will be down in the link. You can find everything that you need down there for that. And if you want to connect with me on Twitter at Macroaggressions and on Instagram at Macroaggressions _ podcast, big thanks to the folks that make this show happen at Legal Shield. They've been in business for half a century in the United States and Canada. They will get you access to an attorney in your area for a very reasonable price. $30 a month will do it. $1 a day will get you access to an attorney with, on average, 22 years of experience. If you've got any sort of legal situations, they can help you out with that. If it's minor things like traffic, red light cameras or traffic tickets or whatever, send it to your attorney. If it's bigger things such as credit monitoring, reputation management, and the like, you can sign up for things called Identity Shield that they have as well. So there's a lot of options over there. I'll tell you what, best thing to do, go take a look for yourself. Go to our website, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. And if you do that, you can find everything there is to know about what Legal Shield is offering. And also big thanks to Tim James and the crew at Chemical Free Body. They're making supplements that actually work. What a novel idea. I've been taking their products for coming up on 4 years. It's fantastic. I take Green 85 every single morning. No kidding, no exaggeration. I really do. I buy it from the company just like you buy it from the company. I use my promo code MACRO to save myself some money. They're not giving it to me for free. I love the product. It actually works. So I want to make sure to support them. So if you are so inclined, go to chemicalfreebody.com. The promo code is MACRO. It'll save you some money. Try the detox bundle. That'll lean you out pretty good. It takes about 90 days. It's well worth it. So check it out if you want. Chemicalfreebody.com, promo code MACRO. And lastly, we're going to be in Acapulco, February 11th through the 16th, 2024. This is my invitation, as I have been stating for the last couple of months now. Please come and join us in Acapulco, Mexico. You will not regret it. You can buy stuff or you can buy memories. I would say buy memories, get into an adventure, come down to Mexico, see what's going on. If you find, if you go to anarcapulco.com, the promo code is MACRO. And that sets us up nicely for our guest who will be speaking at Anarcapulco, as he often does. I will have the pleasure and privilege of introducing him to the stage in a way. Well, I know how he likes to start off his presentations, but I won't spoil it for the audience in case you want to live stream the event. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Max Egan. Hey, Max, it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm good, Charlie. Thanks for having me on, brother. Always good to chat.
Yeah, good to see you. You've got a philosophy, a mantra of sorts that I'm interested in discussing with you. It's fascinating. No stake in the outcome, right? Easier said than done. It's tough to go through this life and act as if none of it matters. But you find yourself in these situations where you're dealing with real life events. And then what you do in retrospect is you look back and you confirm, yeah, a lot of this stuff doesn't matter. You know, a lot of this stuff that we get focused on in the long run is just nonsense. It's stuff. It's arguing with people. It's minor things that don't really make a difference. But this philosophy of no stake in the outcome, it feels very evolved. and I'm not sure how many people are ready for this, but can we talk a little bit about this concept of detaching yourself from where these controllers want us to go and sort of floating around and doing things your own way? Because I really like it, but I want to talk a little bit more about it.
Well, it's realizing that you're only here for a temporary experience. I mean, you know, we place so much emphasis on the outcome of situations, even with our lives. You know, a lot of people do all sorts of stuff and they strive to be successful or whatever. And it's like we think we've got to build this huge pile of stuff to sit on and the one at the with the most wins or something, you know. Like I believe that we come here basically to grow our souls. And a lot of the stuff that we think is important in the physicality of this realm just simply isn't. You know, what's important is how good of a person you are, what sort of a person you are. And life changes all the time. We have our focus on this particular goal and we can see it, we get tunnel vision, and we miss out on all the paths along the side that we could take, all the opportunities that present themselves to us because we're focused on this end goal all the time. You know, I've managed to do so much stuff in my life and travel so many places and do so many things because I've never had any real plans. You know, I allow myself to be open to situations that just evolve along the way. And it could go somewhere completely different to where I thought it was going to go. So, you know, if you've got a stake in the outcome of these actions and these plans when you put them into place, you miss out on all sorts of things that life wants to offer you. You know, and like I said, I mean, what's life about? Like building a big pile of shit and then you get and climb to the top of it and the one with the most wins. I mean, that's not what life's about. You're only here for a breath. You're only here for a really, really short time. I mean, I'm 66 years old. It feels like I've been here for a few months. You know, I remember when I was a teenager just the other day. So why would you have a stake in the outcome of this? Why would you even the human experiment, the whole human experience, I mean, if it fails and humanity destroys itself, I mean, it's not my fault. I won't be here. I don't have a stake in the outcome of the human experiment. Why would anyone think that they do? You know, so I think we place far too much importance on things that we perceive are important when really they're not. You know, and I think it's just an interesting philosophy to have, and it helps you through life. You don't get disappointed in things if you don't have a stake in where they're going to go. And like I said, you know, when you put an idea into motion, you're basically creating a life. It's a life form of its own, but we have this fixed concept of where it needs to go. And, you know, it might want to develop into something completely different if we don't have a stake in that outcome. Like I said, allow yourself to be open to things that go along the way. You'll end up going in a completely different direction. You'll create this thing that you didn't even know it was possible for you to create because you were so open to things and just let things develop organically. And you find wonderful things about yourself and you achieve these incredible goals that you didn't even know you were capable of by not having a stake in what your original concept was, you know? That makes sense?
It does, because I read this book back in 2009 called A Happy Pocket Full of Money by a guy named Cameron, an African guy who was living in the UK. And it changed my whole sort of philosophy on things. I would get it in my head that I had a certain thing I was trying to get from, you know, A to Z, and I was trying to do it all at once. And what I I was disappointed because my journey wasn't taking me directly from A to Z as I thought it should. And what I realized was that that's an impossible task. I don't know. I can only really focus on getting from A to B. And then once I get to B, I'll worry about getting to C and D, and those in the steps will sort of unfold as they as I get closer and closer to it. But I found that my path, I never even really wanted to get to Z. I thought I did. I changed my mind halfway there. You know, I moved out of the real estate industry. I moved out of trying to make as much money as I could. It didn't suit me anymore. And I wound up in a path in the alternative media, which is the best way in the world to make zero money. So I found myself in the alternative media writing books, and then that turned into podcasts. And then I look back on this whole thing and where I started and where I am now. And if I had written a business plan, Max, if I had sat down and said, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to, this is good, I might as well have thrown it in the garbage, because so much of these things are variables, and how you deal with variables that come your way, and how you, you know, the people that you meet. I met Jeff Berwick a lot like you did, and that put me in a brand new orbit. You know what I mean? I'm now talking to different people. I'm writing books with him. I could have never scripted this. And so I found that during my journey, once I sort of took my hands off the steering wheel, I wound up going where I wanted to go in a self-driving car kind of way. You know, I mean, I said, you take care of the navigations. I had to get outside of myself. You know, I was my own worst enemy, thinking, oh, I know exactly where I want to go. Oh, do you? Because life is very different. And I'm sure you didn't expect to be in Mexico, right? I mean, you probably planned to still be in Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Things changed, right? You have to flow.
Well, that's what I say. I mean, another thing I often say is if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. And it's the same thing. I mean, you can. If you just throw yourself to the wind, you'll end up places that you never expected to go. And it's the whole thing about people looking for this path of enlightenment or whatever to get to where they think they need to be. Then I realize that the journey is the place that you're looking for. The journey is the path is the place. It's like Castaneda, that book, Journey to Ixalan. Ixalan being a place that doesn't exist, but it's that vision you have in your mind of where you want to be, and you don't realize that the path itself is the place. You know, that's why I say there's no shortcuts to enlightenment. You've got to walk the path. The only way you get enlightened is to go through life, and there's no way to avoid it. There's no shortcut. You can't read some book and do some meditation and suddenly become this all-knowing being. It's the path that life takes back, and you go, like all of the stuff that I did in my life. I mean, I did so many things that I thought were meaningless, but all of those things gave me the life skills that I needed to do exactly what I'm doing now. You know, I like to do the podcasts and make the videos and you know, be on stage talking to people, all these sorts of things that I thought were unrelated along the way. But now I realize that, okay, that was all the life skills that I needed. When I got to that point that I had all the life skills I needed, the universe took everything away from me except this path, which was the obvious path that I'm on now. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way you've got to look at it. You've got to realize that the path is the journey. And if you allow your life to simply unfold before you and you take these interactions with people and take this experience and put it where it's supposed to be and learn from it all, you find yourself in this incredible place at the end of it all. But it's people looking for that place, like looking for Ixalan, looking for that special place to be, have this stake in the goal, this achievement they want to make. And like I said, if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. You'll end up going places you never expected to go. You'll meet people you never expected to meet. It's all for a reason, and it all makes you who you are, and that's what all this is about. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that people really need to look at. They have far too much stake in the outcome of their lives, far too much stake in the outcome of what they do when they get a job or when they go on a journey or anything, rather than simply letting it solve and grow the way it wants to and simply going with it, going with the flow. It's a huge lesson for people if they can do that. And it leads to incredibly inspiring experiences that you can have. So I think it's something people need to look at. God, it's just a different way, a different perspective. But our society won't let you look at things that way. It's all got to be set in concrete, and you've got to have this degree and that degree and go and get the house and the picket fence and the whole thing, you know. So, yeah, that's success. Success is what we tell you here according to government standards. So, yeah, don't ever experience your own life or believe in yourself, you know. So that's the way they try to train people. But I think a lot of people are falling away from that now. They're seeing the absurdity of it all, and that what this is really about is growing their own soul. You know, if you just got to be open to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, especially in the Western societies, to do certain things. There's certain benchmarks. Go to school, get a degree, get a job, get married, contribute, have kids, all that stuff. And for a lot of people, that works. That seems to be okay for them. And I certainly did follow that path for a while. And I love the family part and I love the kids part. If I had it to do over again, I still tell people, I can't tell you what I learned in school. I don't know. I have no way to measure it. I got a degree. I guess that says that I completed a task to somebody that would want to hire me. But good luck hiring me because I'm difficult, you know? And so employers find that out pretty soon. They go, well, he's got a degree, but he's a pain in the ass to work with because he won't stop telling us how to do it differently, you know? And so I found that I wasn't really suited for the corporate world, and I had to move on. And that's a disappointment to a lot of people that say, well, you've invested all this time and resources and going to school and getting these degrees to have the job that you're supposed to have. And now you don't want that job. Why? You've wasted your life. And I say, well, no, I've just pivoted. I've had to pivot. I've had to go a different direction. I've had to try something different out. And I went to something like I was going through a divorce in 2008, and it was a really weird time. And I went to this person. I got connected with a friend of a friend who said, I can do astral readings. Oh shit, this whole thing dropped off. Well, it seems that Max has dropped off. Let's see if he's able to connect back on because he was coming. There he is. He's coming back. He's coming. Max is rejoining the call. He's coming.
Okay, try that. Are we back?
Yep, we're back. We're still going. You dropped off for a second there, but I'll let the audience know that you are coming to us from Acapulco on a Starlink, and Acapulco is experiencing some issues that it has, and so we're doing the best.
It certainly is, brother. It certainly is.
Well, where I was going was that I was going to tell the story. I got divorced in 2008, and I was kind of drifting a little bit in terms of like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And I wound up meeting this person who did astral readings. And they said, would you like to have your charts done? And I said, sure, why not? I'm in that sort of, I'm kind of open to, let's go with it. Let's see what happens. And I had my charts done, and I took all these notes and I scanned them and I kept them in my computer, and I hadn't looked at them for 15 years. And I went back a couple of months ago and looked at these, at the notes that I had taken. It didn't mean anything to me at the time. And the very first note at the top of the first page, it said, you will become a writer. And I had never even considered writing anything. Wasn't in my thoughts of where the future would go. And I looked at that and I thought, I must have been shaking my head in 2008 when I wrote that down, when some person is telling me I'm going to be a writer. And now flash forward, that is the only thing in the world I want to do is write. And I've now written three books, including one with our friend Jeff Berwick. And it has changed my life. And so sometimes I've kind of felt that, like, if we look, you know, if I were plotting and planning this entire thing, boy, I would have been lost a long time ago. But once I got kind of clear about what I wanted to do, not what society wanted me to do or what my wife wanted me to do or what my upbringing said I should do. Once I decided this, I want to write and I want to do these podcasts and do all this stuff. It's like the universe reconfigured itself in order to present to me all of these options that I would have never found had I been closed-minded to it. So I feel like this idea of like no stake in the outcome. I mean, on the one hand, I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it well. So I have a vested interest in making the outcome, to the extent I can, as honest and accurate and as thoughtful as I possibly can. But at the same time, you say, I can't get too focused on, oh, well, then the next step is going to be this, 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 and this. And this is exactly how it's going to play out. I can't script it. It doesn't feel like it's authentic to me. It feels like where I am now, given how I've gotten on this path, the best thing I can do is just go where this path takes me and trust that it'll lead me to, it might feel like I'm taking the long way around or a backwards way or something, but boy, I just have every expectation that I'll wind up where I need to be. And I never thought that. I never had this thought until I was in my mid-30s that this was even a possibility to get off the treadmill of life and get off of all this stuff. When did it occur to you that the established societal norms were just not going to work for you?
Oh, I figured this out when I was really young, like when I was in school. I got kicked out of 4 schools for arguing with my teachers. So I just became a musician and lived on the outside of society so I could observe the freak show and just let it go. I never had any stake in the path. I just always did what I wanted to do, did what came to me day by day. And I'm not saying like when you have an idea, you shouldn't like put any things in motion and not have any plans. I mean, sure, you should do this, but again, realize that what you've created is its own life form. Let it develop. Let it lead you where it wants to go. I mean, you might have this particular plan to get to a certain place, but then this pathway opens. And if you hadn't taken that pathway, you wouldn't have got to the place you wanted to go. This was the way to do it. You just didn't realize it at the time, you know, and it would take you to a different place to what you actually thought, but it would be a better place because you've let it evolve organically with any idea that you have. You know, it's just looking at things that way. People have said to me, yeah, you've done all these things. How could you have done all these things and traveled all these places and stuff if you didn't plan to do it? And so, well, if I had plans, I wouldn't have done any of this stuff because I would have had other plans. So that's the way to look at it, you know. Just I don't really plan anything to too much of it. Like I said, I never planned to come to Mexico, like you said. I mean, I've never planned any of these things to too much of a degree. You've got to, you know. I mean, I just plan to be happy, and I plan to be the best that I can be. When they asked me at school what you want to be when you grow up, I said outrageously happy. And I said, I don't care if I'm living in the gutter or whether I'm living in a castle, as long as I'm incredibly happy. That's what I would like to be when I get older. And they were going, oh, I don't think you're really understanding the question properly, you know. And that's like when they said, I think they said the same thing to John Lennon, you know, what do you want to be when you get older? And he said something similar. And I said, I don't think you understand the question. And he said, I don't think you understand life, to his teacher. You know, so, you know, it's just an important way to look at things. It really is. I mean, and that's the beauty of an anarchist type of a mindset, you know, just being your own governance. And if you do the right thing in all that you do and you help people along the way and you're not a bad person, you don't steal and lie and do all these bad things, well, things are just going to go where they're supposed to go. And it isn't even a fact, like you were saying, you know, you expect to get where you want to go. Just know that you'll get where you want to go. You'll get to where you're supposed to be. It might not be where you want to go, but it'll be where you're supposed to be. And you know that if your heart is open to it and your heart is open to the world around you and you're a good person in what you do, it's an emotional mirror. It will reflect that back to you and it will lead you to where you're supposed to be. That just might not be particularly where you thought it was going to be, but it will be somewhere incredible and somewhere possibly even better than what you thought you were going to be. Because ultimately, wherever you go, there you are. It's how you feel inside about the place. You can have all sorts of success, living in a castle with all sorts of objects and 15 cars and whatever, and still be completely miserable. And a lot of really rich people are really miserable because they get to these certain places and they realize that money is not happiness. Money provides you securities, provides you stability. You don't have to worry about stuff, stress about bills or anything. Sure, that's great, but it doesn't really. You can be who you are, whether you're living in the gutter, whether you're living in a castle. It doesn't matter. It's finding that in yourself and finding what leads you to that self-discovery. That's what it's all about. Because all this shit that you get, you can't take any of it with you. It's not about that. You know, these trappings in life that we think are real and we think mean something really don't. You know, what means something is you and your interaction with other people. That's what is really important. You know, how many lives have you helped along the way? Have you left the legacy behind? Has the world been improved because you existed? there is a little bit to take into account, I think. And these are lessons in life that we don't get told by a lot of people. These are things we've got to pick up along the way ourselves. And they just be open to it. Be open to it, and you can have an incredible life. You really can. We have far too much value on what society tells us we should be. I always talk about this guy that I met on Venice Beach. He's like 80 years old. He was sitting on the beach crying. And I said to him, what's wrong? He said, well, I've just realized I could have done this 60 years ago. But I did all this stuff. I collected all these things. I thought it was about to do is sit on the beach and enjoy the surf and watch the birds. You know, and now I'm 80 years old. And I've realized that this is what I wanted to do when I was 20. And I just wasted 60 years of my life building all this stuff and went up the corporate ladder and all these things that I actually thought meant something, when all I really wanted to do was experience this world from what I can see and feel and hear and smell and just sit on the beach and enjoy the wave. Don't get to 80 years old and really just do what you always wanted to do, playing guitar. I'll be doing the same thing. So, you know, your life will lead you where you're supposed to go if you don't have a stake in the outcome of that, and it will lead you exactly to what you should be, and it'll teach you how to discover yourself, and that's what it's really all about. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I've been an anarchist my whole life, really. I guess I've never done governance. I've never respected authority. I argued with all my teachers, got kicked out of four schools, and I never even finished high school. Third year of high school, I was gone. A lot of people say to me, oh, you're so intelligent. You've got to know all this stuff. Where were you educated? And I'd say, well, I wasn't. They never got a hold of me. That's how come I know all this stuff, you know? So it's just how you look at things, brother.
Yeah, it is. I'll tell you, one of the reasons I always talk to people about Anarchapulco is I just say that you'll find yourself in situations where you meet people that you would have never met had you not come on this experience, this trip. I sat in 2019, first time I was at Anarchapulco, I sat in on a DMT ceremony, and they paired me up, and the shaman there said, I'm going to put you and you together. And he pointed to the guy next to me and I said, nice to meet you. What's your name? And he says, my name's Johnny Dollar. I said, what do you do? He says, I'm a crypto artist. I said, what kind of art do you do? And he says, I have a picture of Mickey Mouse holding a gas can with a Bitcoin logo, and he's lit the central bank behind him on fire. And I was like, oh my God, you and I are going to be friends. And so I got partnered up with him as my DMT partner, where he went first and then I went second. And then after we got done, we went up to his room in Princess Mundo. He showed me all of this artwork that he had. He showed me his book. It was amazing stuff. The following year, I see him again. Hey, what's going on? We have a great time. This last year, I don't hear from him. I don't see him. I don't know if he's coming, and I haven't seen him. And I've talked to him via email, but it was a while ago. I come around the corner after the Ron Paul dinner because everyone says, we've got to go to Max's bar. And I said, well, where's Max's bar? They said, well, you can hear it. And so I said, okay, so we walk and walk, and I can hear it getting louder and louder and louder and louder. I turn around that corner, and the first person I see is Johnny Dollar sitting there. And he's like this. He goes, where have you been? I said, where have you been? And it just occurred to me, you know, that sort of, it seems like a sort of like a nothing, you know, a nothing thing. I will be friends with that guy for the rest of my life. And I would have never met him had I not been there. And I would have never met him had I not allowed myself to be in these unusual experiences. And I think that, like, so again, back to like trying to script your life out. How could I possibly envision a scenario like this where I would meet some guy just randomly at a DMT ceremony, stay friends with him, and then just keep running into him through, you know, over and over and over again in places where I wasn't even totally expecting to see him this in the 2023. Event, but there he was. And he said, well, I wasn't even planning on going, but I moved down to Acapulco and now I'm here. And at Casa de los Cuervos, right? The Crow House.
Yeah.
Your bar.
He was actually staying there. He was staying upstairs.
I know. He took me up there.
We became very good friends.
He's a fun guy, man. He's a great dude. And I've told the story on this show.
Yeah, we became very good friends. We became very good friends. He's a lovely guy. If he's watching this, hey, Johnny, it's good to catch up with you. He was great. He stayed there for 2 or 3 months, maybe even more. Great guy. Hopefully he'll come this year as well.
I hope so too. Well, let's talk about Acapulco, because I mean, I'm trying not to put my tinfoil hat on, Max, but you guys got hit by a weather weapon. I think it's pretty obvious. And this directed energy Hurricane Otis situation, I got Maui vibes the minute I heard about it. And I was communicating with Jeff, trying to see what was going on. And he was explaining how nobody knew about this hurricane. And then in a matter of hours, it was a Category 5. And then he said to me, man, I'm not even kidding. If you look at the path where the hurricane came ashore, it came ashore right where Max lives. So I'm not trying to be snarky or anything, but like, did they send a hurricane after you?
It's pretty crazy. Like the whole thing was just a tropical low. It was just a low pressure system, just a tropical storm at midday. And then by midnight, it was a Category 5 hurricane hitting Acapulco. It was crazy. Yeah, and it hit right on my house, destroyed everything in the neighborhood, destroyed the secret garden. My house is pretty protected, so it was okay. I mean, house was like knee deep in branches, the whole road. It was just insane. You've never seen anything like it. It trashed most of the hotels. Did a real lot of damage to Acapulco, like the beach in Bonfil is pretty well gone. All the restaurants have been trashed along the beachfront. But I was okay. I mean, I wasn't actually here. I was in San Diego, and I was going to come home that day, and I changed my ticket and went to Texas instead because I had a United Airlines ticket. And you can change them. Like, they're very open and flexible, your tickets. And I changed it that day. And decided I'd go to Texas for a few days instead. And I was going to come home that day, and the hurricane hit at midnight that night. So I would have been here for it, but I just decided to go to Texas for the day instead. And I missed the whole thing. And I ended up having to stay there an extra week because couldn't get in because the airports were closed and like all sorts of stuff happened. But it was remarkable. Like there's been an earthquake and a couple of hurricanes, and I've missed them all. The universe just sends me other places. It's crazy how it happens. But yeah, it's bizarre that it happened to cross exactly on my house, and it destroyed my place or the whole area here and the secret garden. Secret garden's coming along. I mean, they're rebuilding it pretty good. I mean, it's looking pretty good. It's still looking pretty trashed in many ways, but it's looking good. It's going to be good for the conference anyway. So and a lot of stuff is reopened again. Actually, like Bonfil, where I hit, I think because that was the eye of the hurricane, actually hit Bonfil. All of the areas around Bonfil actually ended up more trashed than Bonfil. So, you know, perhaps because there's a little bit of a calmness in the eye of the storm. Of course, I mean, that's as it passes, you get all the bad stuff anyway. But that was remarkable. It was remarkable that it hit so quickly. It was the most rapidly intensifying hurricane in world history. Because it just like 5 or 6 hours, it went from a storm to a Category 5 hurricane. And I think it's the only time a Category 5 hurricane has actually hit a populated area as well. And it hit right on Acapulco, and it just lasted like 2 or 3 hours, and it was gone. It was all over. Next day, you wouldn't even know, except that everything's trashed. So, yeah, it was remarkable, brother, and remarkable that I just decided not to come home that day out of the blue. I didn't even know that there was any storm off the coast. I didn't know anything about it until it actually happened. So, yeah, remarkable.
Yeah, and Jeff tells the story of his wife saying, we need to be elsewhere for that month because she had...
Ken is amazing like that. She's amazing like that. She just... does this stuff. She just knows when things are going to happen. She's a very, very connected, switched on woman, Jeff's wife. She knows things weeks in advance. Oh, no, we can't go there that time. And Jeff's like, why not, you know? And then something will happen, you know, and Ken is right. I mean, she always is. It's amazing.
Even when she's on video screaming at the cops to let go of Jeff, I saw that video of him. I know I have to probably narrow it down a little bit, the video of Jeff screaming at the cops, but he was in Cabo, I guess. It was the Friday. Our book came out on Friday. the Friday before the 2020 election. And I was communicating with Jeff, like up to that point, and the whole team, like we're getting it launched and everything. And then I don't hear anything from Jeff for like 2 days or so. And I was like, what's going on? He said, well, you know, I spent the night of our book release in jail in Cabo for yelling at the cops. I was like, oh God, that's just the most it's the most on brand Jeff Berwick thing that could happen is that, how'd you celebrate the book launch in a jail? And then I see the video of the event and his wife is screaming at the cops and I can't understand it because it's in Spanish. I was like, oh, Jeff found the right woman. She's fantastic. That was so great. But that's something that I think a lot of us are very dismissive of, is this sort of, I don't know, you want to call it advanced knowledge, a sixth sense, or we can't measure that. So we go, oh, it must not be real. The voice in your head saying, don't leave this party now. Don't stay till the end.
Well, intuition, brother. I mean, it's intuition. I mean, I've tried to say to people, there's an electromagnetic conversation going on 24 hours a day between you and reality, but you're not listening. Most people aren't listening. You know, little sparks of intuition. It's electromagnetic communication, almost like telepathic communication that you're having with the field around you. And people are unaware of the language, so they don't listen to it. They just have these little thoughts and think, well, why did I think that? And then something happens. It's like when you pick something up and you think, oh, I'm going to lose this if I'm not careful with it. And later that day, you'll lose it. You know, and you told yourself that the field told you you were going to lose it. You needed to pay more attention to what you're doing, but you didn't listen and you lost the object anyway, you know? So it's things like that happen to us all the time. You get these little tweaks, just a thought, no, you shouldn't go home today. So I didn't. I just changed my flight. No real reason, you know? Like, you know, just you know, why would I think that? Why would I think that, no, I shouldn't go home, I should go to Texas? I don't know. I'll just do it. I just won't go home. Cost me anything to change the ticket, I'll just change that thought, you know? And then the hurricane hits the communication and blah, blah, blah. So it's these higher conversations that you're having. Realize that life is an emotional mirror. It's an electromagnetic mirror. And, you know, we're all connected and the field is talking to you. Things are happening around you, but you're just not aware of it because you're not open to the language. You know, we're too fixated on what society gives us, you know, and too fixated on the outcome of these plans we have, rather than letting our life to be an organic path that unfolds along the way, and trust in it to take you where you need to be. Trust in it to take you to the places where you're going to get the information, the emotional information and the mental information that you need. It's not about your stuff. It's about what's in your heart. It's about what's in your head and what's in your heart. It's about the information you gather along the way. You come into this world completely alone, a completely blank slate, and then we pick up information and programming along the way. When we leave, that is all we take with us, is the information that we've gathered. Fine, if you improve the world while you're present in it. You know, perhaps if reincarnation is real, have you left breadcrumbs for yourself to be able to know what life's about when you come back next time? Like, you know, if reincarnation is real, I'm sure I'll be attracted to the works of Maxwell Egan in my next life, because he will have been saying things that are going to help me along the way. So it isn't just trying to improve the world. It's trying to improve your own experience and try to leave breadcrumbs for yourself should you come back, and breadcrumbs for other people. You know, if you can think of it as a single consciousness, we're simply expressions, thoughts in the mind of God, 6 billion fragments of a single consciousness that has been put here to be able to experience duality and be able to just create, you know, create with completely open mind and create. We could do just so many things if we were open to it and we weren't constrained by the laws and the rules that the government puts in place. So if we're just open to the laws of the creator, we could do just anything. You know, the only thing that's impossible is that which we perceive to be impossible, which is generally based on our belief systems. You know, this society does that. It tells you that everything's got to fit within this little boxed view of reality and physics and all sorts of stuff. You know, don't ever think for yourself. Don't ever think outside the box. Don't believe fairies are real or anything like that. You know, don't believe in magic. Don't believe in any of those things. Just do what it says here in the book and get to this certain point where you've got economic success, because that's what it's all about. you know. And, you know, like I said, just gather stuff, and the one with the most stuff wins. That's the meaning of life, you know, according to the system. And it isn't. There's so much more to it. So you've got to be open to this shit. And if you are open to it, life is an incredible experience. It just unfolds along the way, and you never know what to expect next. And it's great. So it's just a different way of looking at things, brother. And I think if people can get this reconnection, you know, just connect to themselves a little bit better and be open to all this sort of stuff, be open to the energetic universe that they live in, the sky's the limit. We can create any type of reality that we want. You know, we're just constrained by our belief system, constrained by our rules that we believe we have to comply with. You know, something interesting that I saw the other day, I was reading I saw an interview. I actually had it on one of my shows with a lady talking about words in the Bible and the mistranslations in the Bible. And one of the things that was mistranslated was the word Gentile is not in the original Bible. It's actually the word it's supposed to be rather than Gentiles is nations. And those who were the Israelites were those who worshipped the one God, the true God, and those who were the pagans were those who worshipped the nations. And I was talking to Jeff about this the other day and saying, isn't that interesting? Like, it's those who follow the law of the state. These are the false gods, the law of the state, the nations, or the law of the one true God, which is the law that's in your heart. Do the best that you can do. Be all that you can be. Do no harm. That's really the only law. That's God's law. Do no harm. That's the only law that you need to worry about. If you're in your moral compass and you walk your path doing no harm, then you're going to be fine. But if you follow the nation's law, I mean, all these laws that the nation puts in place are designed to do harm. They're designed to put people in scarcity and shortage and extort money from them, taxes and all sorts of crap. You know, constraints around what you believe you can do with your life. And that's really the pagan gods. It's the worship of the nations, the worship of the state, you know, because we're all born anarchists. We're all born in a state of anarchy. We're all born in a state of self-governance. But along the way, we get trained to do what we're told along the way. Got to do what you're told because you're a dangerous person. If you don't, you might go and hurt someone. Well, not if you've got a moral compass, you won't. You know, not if you're in God's law, you won't. I thought that was very interesting that the word Gentiles actually means nations, which would refer to the law of the state. They are the pagan gods. All these rules that the state puts in place, which cause you to step outside your moral compass just to comply with legislation. Now, if we refuse to comply with any legislation which causes us to step outside our moral compass, we would change the world in a day. But people aren't prepared to do that because they don't believe in themselves. So I thought that was an interesting way. That connection's very bad, isn't it?
Yeah, but we'll keep going. We'll go because it'll get smoothed out along the way. I can still hear what you're saying. A lot of what I've come to understand about this world is that I had to unlearn what I thought I knew, whether it be history or finance or whatnot. I had to unlearn it in order to clear myself up so that I could learn a different version of it. And David Rodriguez, who I first met at an Acapulco, talks about the concept of unschooling. And I thought that was such a powerful thing. It's not just to be homeschooled. It's that you have to uninstall some of the programs like you would on a computer. Factory default set with a bunch of these programs, and you look at it and you go, I'll never use these. These are going to slow down my computer. They're probably going to track me. I want all this stuff taken off. And I had to uninstall a lot of my software if I was going to ever get to where I thought I wanted to go. And part of that was reevaluating the relationship I had with the state. And part of in some of that had to do with how I refer to the state. And David taught me, David said, don't call them public schools, call them government schools, because it sounds worse. And that's what they actually are. It's, yeah, you're right. So some of it has been the language that I use when referring to the state. And it feels like this relationship that we have is with our state is a form of it feels like the religion of statism, and that you guys have been talking about for a long time. It has, you know, it's got the the book, you know, the book of laws, you know, it's got a magic book that you have to follow, and it's got certain incantations you have to do and certain rituals that you have to perform. And it feels very much like the statism feels very much like Catholicism or Christianity or Judaism or something that you have to follow these rules. You have to follow the magic book. And if you don't, then you're a bad person. Well, I'm bad at following rules, and I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. And in fact, I'm a good person in part because I refuse to follow some of these rules. Could you imagine? I have a friend of mine named Tony Arterburn. He's going to be speaking. He's one of the sponsors of Anarchapulco with his Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, and he's going to be speaking there. And he's an interesting guy because he did three tours of duty as a U.S. Army paratrooper ranger in Kosovo, Afghanistan, in Iraq. And the entire time he was doing this, he was anti-war. And he was reading Bill Cooper books, and he came back from these excursions and has a totally different view of this. And what he was talking to me about was that you get put in an impossible situation where you have to compromise your values as a human being just in order to stay alive to go home. You know what I mean? To see your mother, you have to maybe shoot somebody who just wants to see their mother. And what that does to your humanity, it strips it away from you. And it's all because of the state. You know, you mentioned how if you could change the world overnight if you just refuse to comply and break your moral compass. Well, that's the state's policy. They have to get you to break your moral compass, right? I mean, in order if you follow them, you are off the path, right?
Absolutely. That's what they do. And people don't realize, like, all the stuff they write down, it's spells. Like I said, you know, we only believe what is possible because of what we believe is possible. We define reality by our language, and we all think in words, think in language. So, you know, looking at physics and looking what is capable, and you know, well, according to this, it says that it's not. And your only understanding of reality is your understanding of the language. We don't have any words in the English language which refer to spiritual connections or any of that sort of stuff. We just don't have the words. And it's spells. I mean, when you go to school, the first thing they teach you to do is to spell. What are you doing when you're spelling? You're casting spells. Your perception of reality is based on your understanding of the language. And if the words aren't in your language to explain reality, how are you ever going to understand how it works? How are you ever going to figure this out for yourself? Now, people would say a spell is a series of words. And I said, no, a word is a series of spells. That's how it works. So I've been telling people this for years and years. You know, you're constrained by your language. This There's higher languages that are going on in your body, in your head, in your heart. You're connecting things like DMT and ayahuasca. You experience more bandwidth of reality, and there's so much. It's just for people to be open to this sort of things and realize that, you know, it is the language, it is the spells, it is essentially a religion, like you're saying. Statism is a religion because of the spells in the books. You know, you're only constrained because they wrote this stuff down. That's what I mean. Old ancient languages were mainly hieroglyphs and pictograms and things like this. I've often said to people, if someone tells you, if you're in a park and someone says to you, you can't walk on the grass, you're likely to walk on it anyway. But if there's a sign there saying, do not walk on the grass, you're very likely to stick to the footpath because the spell of the written word. That's what they do to you. And people have got to see how this works. They write all these laws down on paper, and suddenly you think you have to do that because it's written down. Why? You know, it's a spell. The whole thing's a spell. It's a grimoire. A legal book is essentially a grimoire, you know. And people don't understand this. But, you know, perhaps that's what this time's about. Perhaps that's what we're seeing here, like with the jab and all the stuff that's happening. We're seeing the human race sort of thinned out and culled. But really, all the people who took the jab and all the people who believed the spells in the books are the ones that are falling by the wayside. So perhaps we've reached the people that are going to be left here just aren't going to be open to these grimoires as much as the people that came before. So in many ways, maybe they're doing us a favor. Maybe this is just how it has to be done. Maybe that's why these resets are done every couple of hundred years or whatever, because you've got to get rid of that baggage on human consciousness. As much as, I mean, the people out there who still wearing masks and still believe what the government tells them, and we've spent 20, 30 years trying to educate these people, but they listen, but they just switch it off and they go back to normal, like NPCs. Perhaps this is the only way to do it. Give them the opportunity to bow out. Here you go, take the jab and off you go. You know, so maybe that's even looking at all this, I mean, you look at all the things that are going emotionally involved in it with COVID and everything. Like Gaza is really pulling at my heartstrings, mainly because I've got people in Gaza Strip who have been killed at the moment, which is very disturbing for me. But even with that, I mean, I've got to reach a certain level of detachment. I can only do so much. I can't help people that won't help themselves. If this is what it takes to wake human consciousness up, well, that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, ultimately, like I said, there's only really one of us here anyway. It's all different expressions of human consciousness. It's almost like a simulation that we're living in here. So yeah, how is it possible to really hurt anybody anyway? They might get hurt in this physicality, but their soul is going to go to a higher place. It's still going to be connected to source. Everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. Perhaps this is just the way it has to be done. So you've really got to look at things in the right perspective and realize it's in their own soul journey as well. And that's really what this is about. This is more like an exam. The main test comes after this exam. And you know, at the moment, the human race is collectively failing the exam pretty abysmally. But there's a lot of frequencies of consciousness in here that are actually passing and doing exemplary work as well. So, you know, it all kind of balances out in the end, you know. But, yeah, you know, like I said, it's a spell. All these stuff, these words, these written words, these laws they write down, these are spells that they put in place to constrain you from ever being you and ever really discovering you and ever believing in yourself. So I can't believe in myself or do that because I don't have permission. It's a crazy way to think. But that's what you try. That's why I send you to the education system. So you'll believe that you need to ask permission for everything you do. You'll believe authority is real. That's the main goal of the education system, is to get you to respect authority, to believe someone else has authority over you, and they don't. This is an absolute myth. It's just people out there, just people, same as you. We all have the same bodily functions. Just because they're wearing expensive suits doesn't mean you have to do what these people tell you. So, yeah, it's a huge, incredibly important time. I see this as a time of huge opportunity because the system has been laid completely bare. And this is the time that the human race will come into their own. It's just going to be a difficult process, like all birth and all rebirth. It's a painful process. But we're coming there. We're getting through it. And I think what's going to be at the end of this in the next few years is going to be something remarkable that nobody really expected to see.
I hope you're right, Max. I think you are. I definitely know that you are right about this being sort of an unveiling of the system. And there's a lot of people that are very comfortable being a part of this system. And then there's people like us and a lot of the audience that are ready for a change. They're ready to change. They're ready to not have to participate in this. Max, where's the best place for people to find you to support your work and to follow what you've been working on?
Well, I'm banned pretty well everywhere, but you can go to thecrowhouse.com and you'll find links to my BitChute and my Odyssey and places like that. I mean, I'm still on Twitter. They let me back on there, which is remarkable. But I'm kind of banned everywhere else. I'm banned from YouTube, banned from Facebook, iTunes, iHeart, SoundCloud, just about everywhere you can think of, LinkedIn. So just go to thecrowhouse.com. It's an old clunky HTML website. I've never bothered to update it to WordPress or anything, but just go there, click the face to enter, and you'll see a contact there if you want to send me an email. Not too many. I've got thousands of emails. And yeah, you'll find all the platforms where I upload my videos and stuff there. And come to Acapulco. Come and catch up there. And I'll look forward to seeing you there too, brother. Be a good gig this year, the 10th anniversary. Be good.
It's always good. It's going to be a different vibe this year, more of a pivot to service to the community and a realization that that the anarchist group can do a whole lot more than what the government can. If the government would just stay out of our way and let us do our thing, I think that we could help the people of Acapulco much quicker. I saw what Jeff did with the HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. People that are interested in donating money there, that is still a place that you can go. And the crew on the ground is helping out to the extent that they can. It was inspiring to see that. I think it gave Jeff and the team over there a new sense of purpose. And I'm excited to be there. And if you guys want to please support Max's work, check out his check out thecrowhouse.com. And come to an Acapulco, for God's sakes. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, I understand. If it's money, I get it. It's money. You're going to spend it on something else. Buy an experience. Come down with some friends. Come down with some family members, people that you think are ready for this information. And if you like, when you see us at the conference, say, I saw this interview and it inspired me to get off my couch and get on an airplane and come down and see it. That's Max Egan, everybody. He's the absolute best. Come see us at Anarchapulco 2024. You can go to anarchapulco.com and do that and use the promo code MACRO. And if you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family to get the word out. If you want to connect with me, the website, the new website, macroaggressions.io. You can find everything related there. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.